D-Maze Fingin' and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Here's a little behind the scenes for you. Some of you might wonder, what does everybody do when it's a commercial break? Do we talk? Do we just fiddle on our phones? I usually like to eat during breaks because I don't want you have to watch me eat on the stream. Derek over here is like picking up his phone and going, hur, like Andre the Giant into his phone for some reason.
Or Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. What were you doing?
Well, I saw my daughter come into the house. So when she came in the house, I have security. So, as she went upstairs, I just started to say, huh. So she was trying to figure out what in the world is going on. So it's Halloween. I wanted to scare them. And then she came downstairs. She walked up to the camera and was like, Dad, we didn't know what it was. I was just trying to scare them. That's all.
So you could see their reaction.
Though. Yeah, yes. I could see their reaction. Yes. Bailey was like, she was looking around as she coming downstairs. She was looking around. Ginger was just sitting there like, yeah, I know what this fool doing again. He's done it to me a million times. Bailey, that was my first time getting her. So I kind of scared her a little bit.
In case you wonder what we do when we're not talking.
I like scaring my kids. There you go.
Derek likes scaring.
That's fair.
Scaring his children. So we're talking about Brian Callahan and how we would evaluate his performance thus far as Tennessee Titans head coach. And look, he and Will Levis are attached at the hip in the sense that our perception of Brian Callahan as a coach is tied to Will Levis's performance as a quarterback. And Nick Suss in the Tennessee Titans beat reporter for the Tennessean. Easy for me to say. A lot of Tennesseans in there. A lot of Tennesseans. Either way, Nick Suss had a story about Will Levis and had some interesting statistics. He writes, quote, Callahan's tutelage is morphing Levis, at least production-wise. In 2023, Levis threw 41.2% of his passes 10 or more yards through the air. In 2024, that rate is down to 27.5%. He went from leading the NFL in average depth of target in 2023 to being tied for 12th in the league in 2024. Per Pro Football Focus, his big-time throw percentage is down from 5.9% to 1.9%. And instead of lamenting the disappearance of the deep shots that got him to where he is, Levis is rethinking their value to begin with. So I found that interesting, and that is in line with what Paul Kaharsky was asking Brian Callahan about and what Paul Kaharsky wrote about on his website. But I feel like Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, I think speaks for a lot of Titans fans. He writes, I reserve judgment on the head coach for now. Knowing whether or not you have your franchise quarterback for the future changes how you run a team, definitely how you build a team. So it really seems like it's going to be an incomplete grade for a lot of people. It feels like it's going to be an incomplete grade on Brian Callahan until we see what becomes of Will Levis.
Yes, it will be unless, you know, obviously Will Levis continues to, sort of go down his path of mistake after mistake after mistake. Then eventually, if he doesn't make a change or if the organization doesn't make a change, then he will be responsible. I think fans will hold him responsible for, you know, Will Levis's performance. Listen, the way I look at it for Brian Callahan, he didn't draft the guy. Yes, he was hired in part to sort of help, you know, navigate Will Levis and allow him and help him become the best quarterback he can possibly be. But maybe, just maybe, this is the best quarterback he can be right now. Maybe, just maybe, this is the best quarterback he can be. And there's nothing else that Brian Callahan can do. He can't work wonders. He can't take, you know, somebody that can't play the position on this level, at a high level. He can't take that guy from being what he is to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, guys like that. Maybe Will Levis is who he is, and he's trying to figure out, well, how do I navigate that, you know, this year? Because to me, he's playing with house money. He is truly playing with house money. Again, he didn't draft this guy. The person that should be more worried about this is Rand Carthon. That's who should be worried about the quarterback, not Brian Callahan. Yes, I'm sure Brian Callahan said, yeah, this kid got some tools that I can work with. He has a strong arm. He's mobile. You know, we think he can run the offense that I want to put in. But make no mistake about it. Rand Carthon is the guy that needs to be worried about whether Will Levis, you know, works out or not, because he's tied to Rand Carthon. He's not necessarily tied to Brian Callahan. So, you know, for me, it's as simple. They're going to continue to ride it out with him because that's the owner's choice. I think he will get better because it's his completion rate. His completion percentages says he can do the little things. He can do the things that you're asking him to do, like complete a pass here, short pass here, short pass here. But what you're trying to unlock is that superpower that not many other quarterbacks have, that strong arm to get the ball, push the ball down the field for big plays. You haven't been able to unlock that. And I'm not sure you're going to be able to unlock it on a consistent basis.
It's easy to look at results right now when you're trying to grade. What I'm really going to stress is I want to see week to week what adjustments he makes and what kind of improvement he can make with the offense. Because we're looking at Brian Callahan as the offensive mind. Mm-hmm. It's so much of the emphasis is, you know, how's Levis playing? Because that's such an important slice of Callahan. But let's not forget, he's got to be the head coach. He's got to run the whole thing. He's the CEO. So I think all things considered, he's had quite a bit thrown at him. I think he's handled himself pretty well with that part of it. Because I'm always wondering, especially for a first-time head coach, can you handle all of what goes into calling the plays, running the offense during the game, and managing what you have to manage as the head coach? That's a lot to bite off, but I think he's done reasonably well. But how does he grow from here? How does he bob and weave as he maneuvers through the season?
We do have a Indianapolis Colts update from Stephen Holder of ESPN. Coach Shane Steichen says Jonathan Taylor is the only player ruled out for the Colts on Sunday. So no Jonathan Taylor for the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Steichen also said, according to Holder, he acknowledges Michael Pittman's injury, but he is not ruled out and says he's one of the toughest guys, quote-unquote. No insight on his official status just yet, which is interesting because there was a report from Stephen Holder a couple of days ago that Michael Pittman had a back injury that is expected to sideline him for multiple games. So my guess is that Michael Pittman won't play, and maybe they're trying to keep the Titans guessing, but Shane Steichen not ruling out Michael Pittman, but Jonathan Taylor will not play for the Colts on Sunday against the Titans.
That's pretty big because, as we mentioned, they don't really have an obvious backup that looks like he's much of a threat, but of course I had never heard of the guy for the 49ers the first week, and everybody on their fantasy waiver wire was trying to find this guy the next day. So running backs can be replaced. I think we've learned over the years. I'm also very concerned not just about Pittman, if I'm a Colts fan, but also Downs, who we talked about. He's been missing some time. He's a critical guy. And there is a possibility that one or both won't play, or if they do play, they're playing hurt. This is a huge opportunity for the Titans. I keep coming back to this time and time again. You get to play the Colts where they are more compromised than the Titans are injury-wise. And that was the case as well when they played the Dolphins and the Packers. They took advantage of the Dolphins situation. They obviously did not against the Packers.
Josh Downs has a toe injury. He practiced today. Anthony Richardson is listed as questionable But the expectation is that he will play. But he is listed as questionable for the game on Sunday. Again, the only player ruled out for the Colts, and it's a big one, no Jonathan Taylor on Sunday.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they will find ways, you know, to generate, you know, plays within the run game, because now you have your quarterback back who's an extension of your or an addition to your run game. Another thing. Because I talked about this a lot the last couple of years in development of the quarterback. And y'all know that, you know, I would always say, listen, for some reason they are not developing these quarterbacks the way they need to, because every quarterback, every young quarterback that has come here has sputtered out. I'm hoping that, Bo Hartigree, I think that's how you pronounce his name, last name, that he – because he's going to be instrumental in this as well. Because you got the head coach who's your offensive coordinator, but like Willie said, he's the CEO of the team. He's managing the whole team, you know. And then you have your offensive coordinator who's really not the offensive coordinator because he's not playing, he's not calling plays. So he's helping put together the game plan. Well, who's helping develop the quarterback? Is it the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach? So It's going to be a tall task for Bo Hartigree to try to develop Will Levis into a bona fide starting NFL quarterback, a guy that can consistently win you games. Now, he was with the Raiders, and he helped with, you know, O'Connell last year. He helped with Derek Carr. He was in New England when they drafted Mac Jones. So he has had his hand in developing, you know, young quarterbacks, quarterbacks with not that many years in the league. So I want to see what he does with Will Levis, because ultimately that's what it's going to come down to. Because Brian Callahan is the head coach. He's the offensive coordinator. Then you have your offensive coordinator. But it's the quarterback's coach that helps truly develop that quarterback to what he's going to be.
Do you think this game, just listing all the things we're listing here, this cries to me out for a game plan just like the Miami game plan. Grind it with the running game. You may not light it up on the scoreboard, but if you can keep the ball, be patient, wait for your opportunities, punt the football without getting it blocked, not give the game away to the other team, you have a better defense than the Colts. I think that can be a formula for success in this game. It sounds easy, and it may be boring, but I think if they do that, they win this game. That's how I feel sitting here right now.
They're going to have to do it. You know, my thing is, unless this game is more than a 7-point game, then you turn the ball around and you give it to Pollard or Spears. That's what you do.
I agree.
You know, you take the ball out of your quarterback's hands, or you minimize the opportunities he has to make a mistake out there. So if you keep this game close, which I think they will, then you use the asset that has worked for you. Use the asset that has looked good, and that is your running game. Because everything else, you're damn near last in passing. Your receivers overall, you know, their numbers are damn near last in the NFL. The only thing you have to hang your hat on is your running game that I think is ranked 12, 13, somewhere around there. They're a top 15 run team, you know, run as far as running the football. So if that is indeed the case, then turn the ball around and hand it to the running backs.
I find this very interesting. According to ESPN, the Titans have won 8 consecutive games following their bye, which is the second longest active streak in the NFL.
Now, that was Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
So what do you think it is about? Well, again, you said it was Mike Vrabel, but what can Brian Callahan do to attempt to replicate that?
What is the league record? Do we have like a comparison?
I'll have
because,
to look for that.
Because on some level, I think it is relevant, but I think, you know, the fact that they won off of their bye 6 years ago doesn't really mean anything for this team with all the new players they have, the new coaching staff. Like, I don't know if you can – like, when Vrabel was there and it's year to year, I think it's probably got a little more relevancy. But I'm curious, though, how does that compare to – does the league have a winning record when you're coming off a bye and the team you're playing is not coming off a bye? I don't know the answer to that. So I don't like clinging to that a little too much. But I do see a team that should be fresher and not as banged up as the team that they're playing, and that should give them – and look, we talked about it. When the Colts injury report came out, the line flipped.
Yeah,
and the Titans are a slight favorite now, 2.5.
And
they were
what
they
it
a
is.
1-point dog early in the season.
Well, now that, you know, Steichen said everyone is playing except Jonathan Taylor, I wonder if they had known that, like yesterday, would the line be what it is?
We'll see if it changes again.
Yeah, exactly.
If all of a sudden Pittman's playing, that's
because that's huge.
He's an important guy.
Yeah.
Last I checked, it was Titans -3.
Yeah, I see 2.5 on ESPN, but I'm just looking at or ESPN bet.
DraftKings.
I'm sure it
DraftKings has Titans -3. So we'll see what happens with that. And you're right, Willie. And I fall victim to this sometimes when looking up these statistics. It is an impressive stat that the Titans have won 8 consecutive games following the bye. But what happened in 2018 doesn't have much, you know, doesn't have much influence.
Yeah, they might have three guys that are still on the team or the coaches from the first or the first one or two of those that they won off the bye.
Well, when you consider what the Titans have coming up after this game, they play at Buffalo and at Detroit, two legitimate Super Bowl contending teams on the road. This is an opportunity to win a game and feel good about yourselves going into games where you are going to be a heavy underdog. So I agree. I think considering the issues the Colts have had on defense, the fact that their star running back is not going to play, there are a lot of question marks about their receivers. Their quarterback looks like he's going to play, but he may not be 100%. This is as good of an opportunity as the Titans are going to have to win a game and continue to feel good about themselves. It would be an incredibly huge missed opportunity for the Titans if they can't pull this off at home. 615-737-1025. Get your questions in on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com because it's time for Ask D-Mace.
Woo,
and,
woo.
I'm going to talk to our producer, David Janes, about maybe throwing a prize element into Ask D-Mace, which we don't normally do.
I like that idea. I endorse that idea.
I am going to see if we can make this work, and I will let you know next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now, on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, it's time for Ask D-Mace here on the program. Anything you want to know about Derek? Life? Sports? No question. Is off limits. Well, maybe some.
There's a few.
I'll determine that.
Yes.
But I said that there would be a prize element to Ask D-Mace, which we don't normally do. But I'm encouraging participation by telling you that the best question we receive for Derek Mason will win that next pair of Predators tickets.
Ooh.
So the best question. And we'll do it on our text line, 615-737-1025, because it's easier to keep track of this on our text line. Text in. If you ask the best question to Derek, and I'll allow Derek to be the judge of that, you will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators at home on Tuesday at Bridgestone Arena against the Seattle Kraken. So text us, 615-737-1025. Best question wins those Predators
or
tickets.
You can call, and if I feel your question is great.
Okay.
Okay,
we'll open the phone lines too. I just thought the text line might be easier to keep track, but hell, we'll open the phone lines. Whatever you want to do.
Let's go.
Flood the zone. All right. First on Ask D-Mace, it would not be a segment of Ask D-Mace without our friend Eric on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, I'm sure you have a dad joke for us and a question for D-Mace. Eric, go ahead.
Yes, I do. And first of all, guys, you can take me out of the run. It's not that I don't want to go to the press game. I'd love to, but I'm not going to be able to go to tonight. So for those other people on the line to taste, yeah, you don't have to worry. I'm taking myself out of the run.
How selfless of you, Eric.
Yeah. If it was probably on a Friday or Saturday night, I probably would go. But since it's a Tuesday, I don't have a bit to go. But, guys, anyway, here's my dad joke, and I don't know how this is going to land on you. You might like it. You might not. Mm-hmm. Why did the zebra not want to play baseball?
Something to have to do with strikes and balls.
Well, you're on the right track, Derek. Three stripes, and you're out.
So he's out as soon as he step up to the plate.
Yeah. So this is a two-part question, Derek. Mm-hmm. D-Mace. First of all, what is the latest on Jeffrey Simmons? Everybody's been talking about Will Levis and his injury situation, but I know, and you may have mentioned it, I just don't know if I've caught it, but just the situation with Jeffrey Simmons and his injury. And also, I know the Titans are coming off the bye, but Derek was going to ask you, when did you prefer to take a bye during the football season? Was it early, the midway point in the season, or later on? What was your just favorite time of the season as a player to take a bye? Guys, it's always good to talk to you. Y'all take care. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon. You
Thanks too, a lot, Eric. Appreciate it. The latest on Jeffrey Simmons, day to day. Yeah, he's been practicing, so they hadn't ruled him out. But they haven't said definitely he is playing. But
he was not limited at practice yesterday, so I took that as a good
he's
sign.
He's playing, yeah.
Let's see.
If you're practicing on Thursday, and I'm sure he's practicing again today, then you should be a go unless there is some unforeseen setbacks right before warm-ups or during warm-ups.
I have an update Sunday. Right now as of 8 seconds ago.
There we go.
From Paul Kaharski. Will Levis and Jeffrey Simmons are playing on Sunday.
Okay, so
Will Levis
go.
Will start,
Eric,
and Jeffrey
go.
Simmons will play, according to Paul Kaharski, 8 seconds ago. I couldn't ask for better timing.
Well, there you go, Eric. Right from...
You ask, we get the answer for you.
We got all answers over here. As far as, the bye week, typically you like to take the bye week in the middle of the season because you don't want to take it too early because I'm telling you, though the football season is a grind, I know baseball go through their thing, basketball and hockey because they have so many games and they're playing like every 3 or 4 days, probably a little bit less than that. But, man, that football grind is something just different. We're not playing, but we're practicing. So guys typically, including myself, you would like to take that break sort of in the middle of the season after you've played, a considerable amount of games and whether you have injuries or not, you feel like that mid-mark is a good time to sort of get away from football, allow your body to heal, and then get yourself back into it the next following week or 2 weeks later. So typically I loved having it during the latter part of the year. I don't want it the last four games of the season either. That's crazy in itself. But somewhere around game 7, 8, that's typically ideal for an NFL player.
We've got questions. Just I can't keep up with all of the questions. A lot of Predators fans out there, I'm sure, who want to attend the game on Tuesday. Best question wins the pair of tickets. Okay, let's
see. Remember, this does not have to be a sports question.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It could be anything.
My favorite question that we have received on SDMA since I've been in this chair, Willie, you were out that day. I've mentioned this many times. Somebody asked Derek if he would punish his son if he snuck out of the house. And the only way that Derek found out that his son snuck out of the house was by turning on the news and learning that his son was at a party and save somebody's life. And Derek said, I'm still punishing my kid.
Oh, yeah. You're still going to get punished.
Yes. I learned a lot that day about Derek Mason. All right. Let's see. Joey from Bellevue asks, since it's Halloween season, what's your favorite horror movie? And what do you prefer, a slasher or a paranormal horror movie?
Ooh. My go-to, honestly, is Halloween. And I just watched it the other day. It gets funnier and funnier the more I watch it. because
funnier.
Funnier? Yeah. It's just because it's like, you know he's not going to die. So why are you, like, you see a man in a mask, you know, and he's standing there menacingly, and when the lights go out and it comes back on, he's nowhere to be found. And then when the lights go out and come back on, he's like 8 feet from you, but you're still talking to him as if, hey, buddy, what's going on? I'm sorry for being in your yard. No, let me get the hell up out of here. They just do stupid things in horror movies.
Yeah. It's part of the show.
Yeah, it's part of
it. It's like that commercial now, like, why don't we just get into the car? No, let's go over here where the chainsaws are. Exactly. Chainsaws, yeah.
The car's so, right there running. It's like, right there. It's running. There?
Absolutely. No. My go-to every right around this time of year is Halloween. You cannot beat that, whether it be the first original one or the remakes they've made since then. And that would be considered, what, a slasher? Yeah, I guess
that's a
slasher. Kinda,
yeah.
Yeah, a slasher.
Sort of, yeah, that's a slasher.
And then Insidious. Ooh, I like Insidious. That's really good. That's more of a, like a fright. It ain't too much of a slasher, but it's just a different type of movie if you hadn't seen it. So
not for me, Chief.
You can't watch it.
I am not into horror movies.
I love horror movies.
Just not for me. I'll stick to all of the Disney movies I watch with my son. Those are perfectly fine with me. Alex from Nashville asks, we hear from coaches every week how the Titans need to get Ridley and Hopkins more involved. Is this a Levis issue, a scheme issue, a line issue, all of the above, and how do they fix it?
I think it's all of the above. Listen, I looked at the numbers for this wide receiver group, and they are 29th, somewhere around there, basically the bottom of the barrel. That doesn't to me, that doesn't signify, or that doesn't, because I know those guys in that room. I mean, as far as like watching them play, I don't know them personally. As far as watching them play, Calvin Ridley is a damn good receiver. Obviously, D-Hop is a Hall of Famer. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, he's just been steady Eddie. Tyler Boyd, he's played a lot of good football in this league. Say what you want about Traylon Burks. He has potential, but he hadn't truly, you know, bought it. Not necessarily bought in, but he hadn't truly just captured that moment that he needs to capture. I'm not going to solely blame it on the wide receiver, even though Ridley has a drop that would have been a big play. Tyler Boyd has two drops. The last drop, last game, if he catches it, does he still get in the end zone? Probably not, but it goes down as a drop. Traylon Burks has some drops. So this team, uncharacteristically, amongst their top three, has too many drops. So the receivers can do better, but this is not their problem because they've been open. It's not like they're having a hard time picking up on a scheme. I don't think that's true. I think it boils down to the quarterback and him missing opportunities and him not, you know, reading the field the way he needs to read the field and not taking advantage of some of the plays that they are giving him as far as guys being open. So, and then he locks on one guy too much. And that has bit him in the rear end a few times this season. So I think it's a combination of everything. But I'm not going to solely blame the wide receivers because I think, you know, the opportunities they've been given, you know, with the exception of a handful of them, they may do one of them. I'm talking about the top three guys. I'm talking about Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, and Calvin Ridley.
I do have one Predators note to pass along. Goaltender Matt Murray, who backed up Scott Wedgwood last evening, has been reassigned to the American Hockey League, which bodes well for the availability of UC Saros. Perhaps we see UC Saros tomorrow in Detroit, but the Predators have reassigned Matt Murray to the American Hockey League. He backed up Scott Wedgwood last night. UC Saros did not dress for the game, but it appears he will be at least in uniform tomorrow in Detroit.
Yes, I would concur. That is a good sign.
So that is a good sign. Frank in Clarksville is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a question for Derek. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All right, so let's start this dad joke off real quick. What do you call a guy with a rubber toe?
A rubber toe?
Rubber toe.
I don't know.
You call him Roberto.
Roberto.
That's a winner. Got him. Got him.
That's good.
Oh, so, man.
Let me take you out of your comfort zone, Derek, because I've seen you throw a couple passes. So I want to talk about quarterbacks. Why is it that teams, like every year I would draft a quarterback? And this is why I say that. Let's say I have a veteran, and I could have even drafted a quarterback a year or two ago. I would still grab another one because, one, let's just talk about, I don't know, the Bears. So they drafted Caleb Williams, and let's say he has his year is not that great. So next year I would grab another quarterback. That way when we go into camp, those two are going to battle it out. Whichever one I don't want to keep, I could trade, maybe get some, maybe get a third or a fourth rounder. And then, and while I'm keeping one of the young ones for 4 years, I'm not paying anybody no Peyton Manning salary, you know? So mm-hmm. That's going to help me, you know, fill in other holes that I need. So I just wonder why, you know, it seems like not a lot of teams are doing that. So I want to get your thought on that.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Frank.
Frank. You know, that's an interesting question. Because if you look throughout the history of the league, the Redskins, they did it with RG3 and Kirk Cousins. You saw San Fran do it, with not Love, but what's the other quarterback name? Trey Lance. And then, listen, they drafted Brock Purdy, but he was like the last person in the draft. So I don't think in their mind we're drafting two quarterbacks so there can be some competition. But ultimately there was competition, and Brock Purdy ended up, winning that battle. And I'm sure there have been other teams that have chosen to either draft a quarterback in a specific year in the first round, and then later in the fifth or sixth, they've taken a flyer on a developing quarterback. I'm sure there have been situations like that. But it's just – I understand it from a competition standpoint, but I think you can't – well, you can, but it would be hard to draft two quarterbacks in a specific draft and then say y'all two go compete and we'll trade the other guy. That'd be hard to do, I think, at least. That's why teams end up drafting a quarterback, don't draft a quarterback after that, and then wait possibly a year or two after, depending on how their quarterback is doing, the quarterback that they drafted. Take, for instance, the Titans. They drafted Malik Willis 2 years ago. Was it 2 or 3 years ago?
In 2022.
Third round. And then the next following year, they draft Will Levis in the second round. Well, I think they did that because they saw what they didn't have in Malik Willis and how much of a project it was going to be. So they went back the next following year and said, we need to get a guy that's a little bit more advanced. We don't have to spend a first-round draft pick on them, but we need to get somebody that's a little bit further along in the process. And they went and got Will Levis. Now, as it turned out, it seems like Malik Willis is a little bit further ahead than what they thought he was going to be. But now he's on the Green Bay Packers. And it seems like Will Levis isn't as far as they thought he was as a quarterback. So what do? Do you go back next year and you draft another quarterback? I don't know. Maybe they will have to. Because, again, this is not Brian Callahan's guy. He didn't scout him for the Titans, and he didn't say, hey, you need to draft him because I'm going to be your head coach next year. No, this is a Rand Carthon, Amy Adams. This is their decision, everybody in the front office. So now Brian Callahan has to work with the team he's been given, so to speak, or the team he chose to, head up now. But make no mistake, if it isn't working out or if he sees it, then they're going to be in this same situation next year heading into the draft. Do we draft another quarterback It would be the third year in a row that you could potentially drafted a quarterback in the first three rounds. Or you say, let's just ride with them, bring another veteran guy in here, guy that's going to really push Will Levis, and let's do it that way. I don't know what they're going to do, but, you know, make no mistake about it. If Will Levis isn't working out, that is going to be a decision they're going to have to make another year at that position.
615-737-1025. We'll continue Ask the Mace because we have a lot of questions. Remember, the best question, as determined by Derek, will win the second pair of Predators tickets we have to give away today for their home game on Tuesday against the Seattle Kraken. We'll take your calls and text 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Well, right now it's just D-Mace and Vingan. Willie has departed. He has a plane to catch. The Nashville Predators are in Detroit tomorrow night.
Motor City.
The Bally Sports crew will be on the call for the first time this season, so you can hear Willie Donick call the game tomorrow night in Detroit against the Red Wings. A Predators note to pass along, as I said in the previous segment, the Predators have assigned goaltender Matt Murray, who backed up Scott Wedgwood last night, to the American Hockey League, which means good news for UC Soros' availability. Perhaps UC Soros will make his first start of the season tomorrow in Detroit, but we will find out tomorrow. But again, speaking of the Predators, if you have the best question for D-Mace, at the end of this segment, I will give away a pair of those tickets for the Predators game against the Kraken on Tuesday. Dean is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a question for Derek. Dean, go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dean.
Do you know who the Pocket Rocket is?
No, I don't know who that is.
That is Henry Richard, which was the brother of
Maurice Rocket Richard, yes.
Yes. Do you know how many Stanley Cups the Pocket Rocket won as a player?
Multiple, I know, but I don't know the exact number.
He won 11.
Okay. And
what's your question,
what's
Dean?
What's your question?
That was my question.
Okay, thank you, Dean.
Thank you, Dean.
I don't think Dean's winning the tickets.
I have no idea what
that was.
That was like a left field. It was a question.
It was a question.
Yes.
Yes, it was. It was a question.
Yes.
And speaking of questions, here is one from Cal in East Nashville. Shout out East Nashville, my neck of the woods.
East Nasty.
If you could go back in time, Derek, what do you wish you could say what would you wish you could say to a reporter's question that you knew you couldn't answer in that moment? There are no consequences to what you say, and you will be applauded for your honesty.
I would just say I can't answer that question. I decline to answer that question. Next question. I've done it before, like questions that, you know, about, say, the team or, you know, something like that. It's like, no, I don't want to. You know, next question.
But I think the question that Cal is asking is, in one of those moments where you were asked a question where you said no comment, next question, but you answered it truthfully, and you were applauded for being forthright with the answer, what would you say in that moment? Was there a question you were asked as a player where at the time you said, man, I really wish I could answer this question, but I can't because it would be all over the news if I answered this question?
Not necessarily if I answered it, but is how I answer it, because every question I think has an answer, but it just depends on how you answer that question and whether that person feels that the answer you're giving is suffice. Is it good enough for the person that is asking a question? You know, is my response good enough for them? Honestly, I don't think there's been a question that I have not answered honestly And we're talking honestly, I'm saying at that particular moment, what I was honestly feeling at that particular moment. I think I have. That's one thing that I do believe that any reporter that had covered me, whether it be here in Nashville or in Baltimore, I can say that I answered when they came to me with a question, I answered it truthfully. And I didn't try to, you know, circumvent it. I didn't try to beat around the bush. I just answered it directly. Now, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus either, but I'm going to answer it in a way that I'm hopefully I am giving you what you want. But if you're trying to dig for more, then I can't go there. You see what I'm saying? You know, Adam, because I know how reporters can be sometimes and journalists, and they're just doing their job. You know, they want a little bit more. And it's like, well, I gave you basically what it is. Now, you want me to go a little bit deeper than that? Nah, I'm not going to do that. Because then if I do that, then where does it end? You know, and you end up saying something that becomes, you know, bulletin board material or becomes a talking point within a locker room.
Les is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com with a question for Derek. Les, go ahead.
Oh, guys, you know I got to come with the dad joke.
Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Did you know that your pupils are the last part to stop working when you die? And did you know why?
I don't.
I don't.
They die late.
I like that one. I like that one.
I figured I'd get a kick out of you for that, man.
I like that.
So my question's kind of weird, but I asked y'all this a while back, and I think Willie shot it down with some really good points. Mm-hmm. But now that we're a little bit past that, I'm going to ask it again and give you some context. But so a while back when Derrick Henry was interviewed and he left, he had made the comment that he heard Rand's vision for the team, and he was not on board with it, and that was why he ultimately decided that he wanted to go. Whether that's right or wrong, do you think that he kind of just saw that this team was about to have this downward spiral, and he heard what Rand's plan was to fix it? And that's why he said, you know what, dude, you got it, coach. I'm out. Like, I don't want anything to do with this. And that's why he gave his speech. So I don't think everybody from the Titans organization gave up on Derrick Henry. I think Rand Carthon tried to convince everybody in the organization that he was washed up and we didn't need him, since he was just trying to make a bold move, a statement move to show that he was a good GM. And I think it backfired. I just want y'all's opinion on that. Am I crazy for thinking that?
Thanks, Les. Thank Derek you. Is Thank less you. Crazy.
I'm not going to say. See, this is one of these questions. Like, you know, I'm gonna be honest here, but are you gonna want more? Is what I'm going to say gonna be good enough? I do believe this. When a player, especially at that position, the running back position, when a player has been with an organization for the amount of time or the amount of years that Derrick Henry was here, eventually you have to segue out of that player. It's all happened. You know, the greatest running back in the NFL, statistically wise, Emmitt Smith, they moved away from Emmitt Smith. He ended up going to the Arizona Cardinals, okay? They do it. It happens to every runner. They did it to Eddie George here, you know. They end up cutting them, and he ended up going to Dallas. So it happens to all running backs, especially in this era of football when passing is what sells tickets. Throwing touchdowns is what sells tickets. What doesn't sell tickets is turning the quarterback around and handing it to the running back 30, 40 times. That isn't what sells tickets anymore, even with a running back like Derrick Henry. Eventually, if it becomes a slow game, that's not exciting anymore. And a lot of times, you're not winning when you employ that type of football consistently week in and week out. You got to have a passing game. So I think what he heard was, hey, listen, Derek, we are transitioning this offense. we are looking to be a more quarterback-centric and wide receiver-centric offense. Not to say that what you do we don't need anymore, but we probably don't need it at that price. And what is going to change that hasn't changed already? We saw Derrick Henry. We saw this book with Derrick Henry over and over and over again. And it was great. But where did it get you the last 2 years? It hadn't gotten you anywhere. It just hadn't. And it wasn't Derrick Henry's fault. So we got to make a bold move to try to energize this offense. We got to do some things to make it seem like that we are forward thinking, whether it be analytics, whether it be getting an offensive-minded coach that loves to pass the football, whether it be drafting a quarterback in the second round that has this big arm. We're trying to do things that is going to usher us into the new wave of football. Not to say that Derrick Henry isn't still a good back, but sometimes, even though you got a good running back, what means more is sort of propelling your team to the new way of playing football. And you see it across the board with every team. So it's not just the Tennessee Titans that have moved away from their star running back. Look at what Minnesota did a few years ago. You know, they went away from the kid out of Florida State. What's his name? Dalvin Cook. They went away, and Dalvin Cook was a 1,000-yard rusher the season before. I understand he dealt with some injuries, but even him, he was a dynamic running back, meaning he caught the football and ran the football. And what did Minnesota do? They went away from him. Carolina Panthers, the dumbest move they ever made was going away from Christian McCaffrey. So it's not just the Tennessee Titans that did it. Other teams around the NFL.
Giants with Saquon Barkley.
Exactly, the Giants with Saquon Barkley. It's not just a Derrick Henry thing or a Tennessee Titan thing. I think that's what's happening across the league. You have to be able to throw the football. You have to become a quarterback-centric team if you're going to win a Super Bowl. There hasn't been many teams in this new era of football that's won a Super Bowl without an elite quarterback. There hasn't.
So, Derek, that takes us to the end of Ask D-Mace. What was your favorite question?
Man, oh, man. I like that last question. I really did because it allowed me to really sort of think through some things.
So Les, congratulations, my friend. You will be attending the Predators game on Tuesday against the Seattle Kraken. I have one more pair of tickets to give away, which we will do in the final hour also because we received such excellent questions from all of you. We will continue like a extended Ask D-Mace as part of the third hour because a lot of good questions about the Titans and other things we can get into. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, I have two words for you that when you hear them, especially on this station, they might make your eyeballs want to pop out. They might send shivers down your spine. You've heard the story many, many times. And I will mention those two words next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.